Welcome to the Lifeway Church Podcast. We are so glad that you have joined us, and we hope that you are encouraged by today's message.
But today, anyway, we are continuing our masterpiece series. Everybody say masterpiece, where we are sharing biblical tools. So whether you are currently married or one day you will be married, we're trying to give you some tools that will help your marriage stand the test of time. Today I'm going to teach on the subject of fighting fair. Everybody, if your spouse is sitting next to you, say, fight fair. Oh, come on. Say it like you're getting ready to have a fight. Fight fair, fight fair. How many of you in the room have ever gotten a fight with someone that you love over something that when you look back, it was really stupid? Come on, let me see your hands. Come on, hold them up proud, proud, proud. If your hand's not up, you're lying. All right, come on. And we'll have a series on lying, all right, in a few months. It's amazing. All of us in this room, I remember it was very early in our marriage. We had left Milwaukee, we had gone to the mission field, and then right from the mission field in Africa, we moved to Key West, Florida. Many of you know Jim and Deanna Marquez, who serve on our team. They're snowbirds, so they go away for the winter. They'll be back in a couple weeks, looking forward to seeing them. But after we left Africa, Shyla and I went and we served at their church. And I remember our home church had a big youth choir, and they had released their first CD, and this was something that Shyla and I were a part of before we had moved. And so they had released their first CD, and someone sent us a copy of it about a month before Christmas. And because I was homesick, I'll just be so transparent to you this morning. Because I was homesick, but probably more than that, because I wanted to be in control. Come on, any control freaks in the house? Yeah, you don't even want to raise your hand, right? But because I was in control, I wanted to be in control, I assumed that Shyla was also homesick. And so I made this choice in my head that by hearing this CD, that Shyla would become even more homesick and that she would want to move away from Key West and leave me there by myself. It's stupid, the things we tell ourselves. I almost laugh at myself for saying this. But I made the incredibly dumb decision to inform Shyla that we're not going to open that CD until Christmas. As if things that, you know, as if being homesick on Christmas and not being home, like that would make it magically better 3 or 4 weeks later. I mean, it was so stupid. Honestly, I was being a rear end, all right? And there's another word for that that's a little more harsh, but that's what I was being. And we got into this big old fight about something as insignificant as when we could listen or when we should listen to a CD. And the thing is, we all probably could stand up here and tell stories of the same types of mistakes that we've made in our own relationship. But here's the truth this morning. The truth is this morning is that all couples fight. Let's take a deep breath and say, okay. And he's not going to get up here and say we shouldn't fight. All couples fight. In fact, if you're not fighting, then there's something wrong, all right? But that's for another message, for another time. All healthy couples fight. And so there are two primary reasons that we fight. First, we fight because even on our best days, we are imperfect people who say and do stupid things. Can I get a good amen from somebody here today? I do some stupid and dumb things. Not for your spouse. Talk about yourself. You're telling yourself for a second. The second reason we fight is because we are sinners. And our sinfulness, it propels us to pretty amazing levels of stupidity. And while all couples fight, what we need to understand is that healthy couples who have healthy relationships have learned how to fight fair. Unhealthy couples, they fight dirty. And in boxing terms, you know, they give you the instructions before a boxing match. You know, no punching below the belt. And often unhealthy couples, they know just like, you know the spot to, come on. How many of you that are married, you know the spot to go to? Like, you don't even have to think. I can go to that spot and I can hit below the belt. But the first blank in your sermon outline, I encourage you to take it out and follow along with us, is this. Healthy couples fight for resolution. Unhealthy couples fight for victory. Healthy couples fight for resolution, but unhealthy couples fight for victory. In other words, they fight to be right. Come on, anybody in this room have to be right all the time? Come on, let me see your hands. Let me see. Yeah, yeah, a few honest people in the room, all right? And so to be right, and so let me ask this question. Which category does your relationship typically fall in? Do you fight for resolution or do you fight for victory? Dr. John Gottman is world-renowned for his research on marital stability. And over the course of 16 years, he performed a study where he observed how couples fought. And he observed hundreds and hundreds of couples. And from what he learned in this study, he is now able, this is crazy, he is now able to watch a couple for 5 minutes and determine with 91% accuracy whether their marriage will end up in divorce. And one of the key indicators, what he found, one of the key indicators of marriage success is found in how well, how fair we fight, how we settle, how we take care of the differences that arise in our lives. Our key passage for today's message is found in James chapter 1, verse 19. This is what it says. It says, "You must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." And so there are three rules to fighting fair I want to talk through that we can find and take from this passage and apply to our lives in order to improve our marriage and our relationship. So when things start escalating and pressure is mounting and you can just feel your blood is beginning to boil, like your blood pressure starts to rise, the first thing we need to do, number one, is we need to stop to listen carefully. So often in our relationships, we do not stop to listen to what is actually being said. Our mind is racing ahead to formulate whatever assumption it is that we can come up with on the fly. And so even though our spouse is speaking and we hear words coming out, we aren't internalizing the words and therefore we're not understanding. And so James 1:19 is very clear. He says, "You must all be quick to listen." And not only do we struggle with this in our relationships and in our marriage, but most of us, we do the exact opposite. We are quick to speak, right? We are quick to argue back. We raise our voice, and for some crazy reason, we think that it would be a good idea to talk louder and talk over our spouse. Come on, how many of you have had this play out, right? Maybe you've experienced different results, but this never works out very well for me when I try to raise my voice and speak over her. A while back, I was reading an article on my phone, and Shiloh came into the room, and she started talking to me. And so in my mind, sometimes I have discussions with myself. Come on, anybody, like, kind of have these discussions with yourself in your mind? And so I said to myself, literally, you know, I'm reading an article. Shiloh's coming in, starting to talk. I said, Andrew, put your phone down. But then, I'm not proud of this, but the man inside of me said, "Hey, you're really talented. You can do two things at once." And so, yeah. So I kept reading and kind of like nodding my head. And at one point, Shiloh said, she goes, are you even listening to me?" And I grunted, so I'm like, "Uh-huh." And I finished the article. And then she, how many of you been this place? She asked a follow-up question. And I had no idea what she was talking about. Lonely place. I was in real trouble. Listen, while I could hear her voice, I was not giving it the proper attention and the proper focus. Now this idea of being quick to listen is so simple. It's so simple that it's easy for us to dismiss its power and its effectiveness. And what we need to do is when we start to fight, we need to stop and we need to really focus to hear what the other person is saying. Proverbs 18:2, man, sometimes you read verses in Scripture and it's like it just gives you a gut punch. And this verse tells us what it's like when we refuse to listen. Come on, buckle your seatbelt. Here it is, Proverbs 18:2. "Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions." Those aren't Andrew's words. Those are God's words. Someone who says, "Hey, I'm not interested in what you're saying, but let me tell you what I think." The Bible calls that person a fool. And so often in our fights, we just want to be heard, and we're not even trying to understand the other person. We just want to make our point. And even worse, we just want to win. But listen, that is foolish behavior, and that's not what fighting fair looks like. And so let me give you a couple practical things to do in this area of learning to listen. First, when an argument ensues, we should repeat back to our spouse what they just said. Now, here, listen, body language and tone is very important here. Oh, you want me to take out the garbage? Yeah. Listen, that isn't, you know, that's not going to work, all right? But this habit will force us, when we repeat back what we've heard, it will force us to listen and internalize, as well as validate our spouse, letting them know that they have actually been heard. And this also focuses us on the issue at hand, rather than escalating to the point. Come on, how many of you have ever been here where you begin to fight about how you're fighting, right? And like, you get into this, and the fight isn't even about what the fight was initially about. Remember, the goal of fighting is to come to resolution about the issue. And secondly, this next step is so important. Even though you're upset and angry and you feel like your spouse is kind of being a you-know-what, right? We need to repeat back what we've heard, and then we need to validate their feelings. So baby, I understand why you may feel this way or why you felt this way when I did this. That was not my intention. Listen, you don't have to agree with the issue, but you can validate their feelings. And by repeating and validating, you'll be able to keep the discussion focused on the real issue. So many times we start fighting over the fight while the issue just gets buried somewhere in our immature behavior. So stop to listen. I value your thoughts. I value your feelings and opinions. I want to hear you, and not you just have to listen to me, all right? So that's the first one. Pretty easy, but it's pretty hard. I'm going to tell you, pretty easy, but it's pretty hard to do. The second thing Scripture teaches us, number two, is to guard our words and guard our words carefully. Guard them carefully. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Choose your words with wisdom. I love Proverbs 21:23. It's such a great verse. It says, "Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble." Now, I want to give you a pro tip, all right? I want to help you in your relationship. This is not a great verse to quote your spouse in the middle of a fight, all right? That's for you in your personal devotion time, all right? All right, but while we should not use this verse to avoid healthy confrontation, that's also important. Don't use this verse, "Well, I'm just not going to say anything. I'll never talk." Come on, how many of you had that fight? "Well, I'm just never talking to you ever again." And then we go into the silent treatment, right? And then it rolls into all of this stuff like that. Listen, we need to learn when to speak and what words we should say. Someone once said, "It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubts." And so here are two very practical questions. When you're in the fight, you're trying to decide what you should say or what you shouldn't be, ask yourself these two questions. Letter A in your outline is, should it be said? This is going to be earth-shattering to some of you here this morning. Believe it or not, not everything that our brilliant minds come up with need to be verbalized. So ask yourself, should it be said? And if the answer is no, then don't say it. Now, if the answer is yes, then you need to follow it up with a second question. This is letter B. Should it be said now? Should it be said now? Listen, there are some things that do need to be said, but the worst time to say them is when you're in the middle of a fight. Because what will happen is we'll start adding new issues to what became a fight over one thing, and all of a sudden it comes and it just billows up and it just blows up into this whole thing. And so listen, even in a fight, if something comes up that's a secondary issue, say, "Hey, time out. And write that down. We'll come back to that at another time, but let's stay on the issue at hand. We need to work through those things, but we need to find that resolution." It's a much better idea for couples. Listen, hear me at this. It's a much better idea for couples to work on their marriage issues during times of non-conflict. All right? So don't try to fix all the things that's wrong with your spouse when you're screaming at each other. Like, that's the worst possible time. And so let me give you just real practically, what does that look like, all right? Why would we talk about this if everything's fine? Well, no, if we learn to talk about things in non-conflict times. So you guys know, you've come and heard, those of you that have been attending here for a long time, you've heard me talk about how important date night is, and you should have a regular date night in your routine. But ask your spouse the next time you're out on a date, ask your spouse, what am I doing well as your spouse? And I want you right now to begin thinking in advance about how to answer this question, okay? So don't let your spouse ask and you're like, man, you don't do anything good. That's not going to be a good date night, all right? Be thinking of, listen, even every spouse in this room has things that they do really well, all right? So please don't respond nothing, because then this exercise isn't going to work very well. But what will happen is, when you answer that question and you begin complimenting good things, what will happen is we'll create a positive momentum, and we'll create goodwill in our discussion. And once that goodwill is established, then follow it up with this question: what's one area that I can begin to work on as your spouse to treasure you even more? All right? In this process, what it will do is it will create a non-threatening environment to discuss the things that affect us. Now listen, you got to put your big boy pants on and be ready to receive what they say. If you're the spouse that's being asked this question, that's not the time to take the dump truck back and dump, you know, 30 years of garbage. Pick one thing, all right? One thing, all right? So pick that out. In fact, I find it's really interesting. If you study anger, all anger, which is what leads us to have the fights that we have, all anger comes from one area, and it is the result of unmet expectations. And so by routinely doing this exercise, what will happen is we will one by one begin to eliminate the areas of our spouse's unmet expectations. And so you may say, well, we don't have a lot of time. Well, even if you went on one date night a month, all right, if you dealt with one thing every month, think how far in a year there would be 12 things that drive your spouse crazy that you would stop doing. Think how much better your marriage and your relationship would be, all right? And so this is something that's so important. So should it be said, and should it be said now? Now even if you follow these rules, you're going to get in these fights, and so let me give you some rules for fighting. In other words, some rules of engagement. So I encourage you to use these. In fact, I would encourage you, every relationship's a little different. You might need to add some more of your own, but write these down. In fact, a lot of times when we do pre-marriage counseling, Shyla and I, one of the pieces of homework that we'll give is we'll actually ask couples to actually do this, type it out, both sign it, laminate it, and put it on the nightstand next to them. Because listen, we like to forget this stuff when we're in the midst of the fight. So here they are. Here, I'm just going to go through these real quickly. Like I said, you can add more of your own. The first one is never call names. All right, never call names unless it's your little pet name for each other, like Pookie, Wookie, Bookie, Boo, or whatever you know you call your significant other. But never call names. All right. The second one here is never raise your voice. Nothing good ever comes out of raising your voice, all right? So stop back. I should say that relationally with people. Obviously, we lift our voice to Jesus, and so that's a good thing. But, you know, you don't walk into the office and just start screaming your head off, and, like, you know, that just doesn't typically tend to work out well. So step back, count to 10, breathe in, sing a song, say a prayer, pray in tongues, all right? I don't know, but whatever you have to do, do it in order to calm down. So don't raise your voice. Here's a great one. Never get historical. Some of you are thinking, well, that's an error. That should be hysterical. Well, yeah, don't get hysterical either. But never get historical. It's not a, you know, like sometimes we'll get into fights and they'll be like, I remember back in 2001. And you did this, and, you know, like, it's this whole thing, and it's all this stuff. Don't go there, all right? Listen, when you said your vows, you exchanged wedding rings, not scorecards, all right? So don't get historical. The fight is not the time to address everything that's on your list. Stick to the issue at hand and solve that one issue. If you start putting everything out there, nothing will get solved. You'll get super angry with each other. You'll storm your own directions and go that way. All right, here's another one. We actually have fights in our house about this next one, and that is never say never or always. Never say never or always. This is one of the fastest ways to be offensive, because here's the truth. The truth is that never and always is rarely a true statement, all right? If your man was always a jerk, you're always a jerk, you wouldn't have married him, all right? Okay, so never or always is rarely a true statement, and so by learning to remove these words from our vocabulary in a fight, it will allow for productive resolution, which is the goal. Here's a great one. This one should be on all of our lists. Never threaten divorce. Don't do it. That's a below-the-belt hit. This is completely inappropriate and completely wrong. Remember, when we said our vows to each other, we said what? For better or for worse. And because our spouse is a masterpiece and a treasure from God, we should never threaten to leave in a moment of anger. And finally, when you're in a fight, this is just extra credit here, never quote your pastor, all right? Don't do it. Well, Pastor Andrew said, listen, I promise you that will not end well, and don't call me to clean up the mess afterwards. I'm like, I wasn't even a part of that, all right? Keep me out of that, all right? Just a joke, all right? I had to make somebody laugh. All right, so stop to listen carefully, guard your words faithfully, and then here's the last one, number three. That is, handle your anger righteously. Handle your anger righteously. James 1:19, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. And so if you want to have a great marriage, there are some things that you just have to say, you know what, this isn't worth it. In the whole scheme of things, that it's not worth it. I'm gonna let it go. Listen, women, let me just help you out here. You married a man. And men are going to do men things. Right? Men, you married a woman, and women will do woman things. So get used to it. Men, you'll never be able to leave the house in under 15 minutes. Don't even get angry. Just plan it into your schedule, all right? Be slow to anger. Ephesians 4:26 says, and don't let sin by letting anger control you, right? So just want to pause there and let you know, listen, being angry is not a sin. But what we do with our anger can lead us to sin. Going on, it says, don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. This is one of the most life-changing principles for your marriage. Don't let the sun go down when you're angry. Don't go to bed mad. Don't go to bed with unresolved issues. And this is why this is so important for anger. Watch this. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. So I want you to understand that anytime, if you're married or one day when you are married, anytime you choose to go to bed angry and unresolving an issue, you have literally invited the devil into your house. And when you choose to not talk, when you choose to not work it out, when you choose to not forgive, the next day you're going to wake up and what's going to happen is the problem is going to grow just a little bit bigger. And some of you may be sitting here and you're thinking, well, Pastor, you don't know the person I'm married to. You don't know how they really behave. You don't know how much of a jerk they really are. Listen, I promise you that attitude that you're carrying, it started years ago when one day you chose to simply not take care of a small issue. And over the years, what happens is it compounds and it grows and it gets bigger and bigger and it becomes more and more complex, all because what happened was is we cracked open the door in our marriage and we allowed the devil to come in and we gave him a foothold. And so Shyla and I, we don't go to bed angry. Now, to be honest, there have been times we've not slept for 5 or 6 days. I know it's easy to stand up here. I was telling someone before service, I love this series because it's one of the most practical things that I can do to help your lives, this series here. And we've all heard this stuff before. We all need to hear it again. But like, you know, this is one of the most difficult series because I feel like every time I get ready to teach this, we always have our biggest fight the week of the whole year. We have the week of the fighting fair. You know, and I actually had to go to Shyla, and I had to apologize to Shyla, and then someone in the church overheard the fight, and I had to go to them and apologize, and it was super humbling and embarrassing. But listen, Shyla is a masterpiece, and what I've made the choice is I'm not going to let our spiritual enemy destroy the greatness that God has for the two of us. And your spouse is a masterpiece, and you need to make up your mind. I'm not going to let the enemy destroy what God has in our future over some little thing. And so for those of you who aren't married, I want to give you some tips. Those of you who aren't married, give you some tips that'll help you for the moment you do say it. But this is crazy. It's like the minute you say, I do, it's like you get infused with skills on how to fight dirty. And for some reason, those skills are even raised up to another level at the end of the day, towards bedtime. And so you can crawl into bed, right? And all the married people are going to nod their head and say amen. You've had a big fight, and you crawl into bed, and that's assuming it wasn't so big that one of you were kicked out to the couch, all right? But you crawl into bed, and immediately you assume the fighting position in bed. How many of you know what that is? It's called back-to-back, right? Right, back to back, you face one direction, your spouse faces the other. And in most couples, there are two types of fighters. There is the silent one, and then there is the huffer. I didn't say heifer, the huffer, all right? We're going to start another fight. Huffer, not heifer, all right? And so in our relationship, Shyla is the silent one, all right? She can lay there. I promise it's like, she doesn't even breathe sometimes, and it feels like an eternity. It's like she doesn't even want to give me the satisfaction of knowing that she's still alive. For me, though, I'm the huffer. How many huffers we got? Come on, huffers? Yeah. Some spouses are like pointing, yeah, my spouse is the huffer, right? We'll get in the fighting position in bed, and I'll listen, see if she's breathing, and I don't hear anything. It's quiet for a minute or two, and I'll be like, and then, of course, because, we're in a fight, she never even responds to that. And so I'll try it a couple of times, and I try to do it even harder, and that doesn't work. And so then what I'll do is I'll be like, and I'll jump just beastly out of bed like that. Come on, any of you huffers do that? Where you like jump out of bed as hard as you can jump out of bed? I mean, I don't know, like we break our knees almost and we try to get out so hard. And I'll stomp my way to the bathroom. And any guys that are huffers here, you can relate. After I use the bathroom, I put the toilet lid down with some extra effort just so she knows I can still do that right. And then I'll storm back to bed, and I'll rip the covers, pull them over, and I'll be like, and then it's almost as if someone, like, took tape, like, right down the middle of your bed. Like, there is, like, a line of, like, the equator, like, on the earth, like, a line of demarcation. It is right there, and your bed is marked in half. And whatever happens, no matter what, you make sure you don't touch any body parts. Like, you know how this goes, right? You never, like you're here. See, there's a line between these carpets. So you're here, and like, your toe crosses over. And, like, man, those toes hit, and it's, like, all over. Like, it starts, don't touch me, right? Silent types. Come on, where are you in the room? Silent types. Let me see your hands. Yeah. Silent types. Huffers. Come on. Not heifers. Huffers. Yeah, let me see. Yeah. Listen, instead of, we laugh about this, but I encourage us not to do it, because there's nothing good that comes out of it. In our anger, the apostle tells us, do not sin. Instead of can I just be real? Instead of acting like two-year-olds who aren't getting our way, let's be adults and let's talk about it. Let's get to the heart of the issue. Let's resolve the issue. We must stop to listen. We must stop and guard our words, and we must handle our anger righteously. As I wrap up this message, I want to give you four signs, four warning lights that you aren't fighting fair. You know, how many of you know your car has these warning lights? I heard of this guy who was selling his services to fix cars, and what he would do is he'd take black duct tape and put them right over the light and say, oh, your car is fixed now. Listen, don't ignore these warning signs. All right, if you've got these in your life, it's just going to reveal to us that we need to get some help. And we say this is one of the things, the phrases Shyla and I use all the time as we counsel people, is that it's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to not be okay and not get the help that you need. And so four signs that Dr. Gottman discovered in his research of how couples do not fight fair. All right, the first, number one, there is criticizing. Now, there's a big difference, recognize there's a big difference between criticizing and complaining. Complaining is, hey, you told me you were going to do this, and you didn't. therefore I'm frustrated with you. That's complaining. Criticizing is when we walk into the room and say, you never do, there's that word again, you never do what you say you're going to do. Listen, if you recognize this morning that you have a consistent critical spirit towards your spouse, you are in a danger zone. That moves us to number two, criticism, if not dealt with, it grows into contempt. It grows into contempt. This is where disgust comes in. This is where there's eye rolling. This is where there's sarcasm. And unfortunately, we've met with couples in our church that are going through difficult times. And almost every time we see this, as soon as one spouse begins to talk, the other will roll their eyes, shrug their shoulder. You know, the body language is so extreme there. The sarcasm comes out and we begin to exude this attitude through our body language and tone. I don't even like the person that I'm with. And while you would never say it verbally, your body language says the complete opposite. From contempt, we move to number three, and that's defensiveness. Defensiveness. We've probably all seen this. You've talked with a couple who might be struggling in their marriage, and he blames it on her. And she turns around and blames it on him. And the problem is no one is willing to take any ownership of the issue. Listen, if you're struggling in your relationship, you need to own the part that belongs to you. And then finally, there's stonewalling. Number four, stonewalling. And this is when relationships get to the place where a spouse begins to feel, I'm done. I don't even care anymore. And if you see any of these signals routinely on display in your marriage, come on, hear your pastor this morning. It's time to get help. Some of you may be thinking right now, well, you know, that's all fine for people that are better than us, but our marriage is such a mess that there's no way that if it could ever work out. Listen, I want you to know that all things are possible with our God. Romans 12:21 tells us, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Make no mistake about it, we have an enemy. Scripture tells us he is roaming around, that he's roaming around like a lion, that he's roaring and that he's seeking whom he may devour. And listen, the reason we do a series like this every year, first of all, we need the reminder, but I want you to understand we must not be ignorant of the enemy's tactics, of his desire to destroy our family. But here's the problem today. So many of us, we think our spouse is the enemy, but watch this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, the Apostle Paul writes, he says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, against authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. I want you to understand this morning, you're fighting, so many of us are fighting the wrong enemy. Shiloh, can you come up here for me? I want to use this as an illustration. I just always want to do this in church. So often, you're going to hear this talking in here too. So often in marriage, we come up against each other and we assume this posture of against each other. You always do this. You never do that. You've not met this expectation. You don't follow through. You stay at work too late. You only pay attention to your phone. Why don't you love me as much as your friends? And we take this and we're fighting after each other. Listen, we're falling right into the trap of the enemy. And we're fighting the wrong battle. What we need to do instead is we need to turn around and we need to be back to back, because the Bible says a two-stranded cord, a three-stranded cord is not easily broken. And with God and me and my wife, we can stave off the fighting and the darts of the wicked one who's coming in to destroy. And Shiloh, it doesn't matter what we're going through, but I've got your back. And when this comes this way, I'm going to protect you. And when that comes from that side, she's going to protect me. Listen, we need to learn to fight the right battles. We're not going to fight against each other. Instead, we're going to fight against this unforeseen enemy who is trying to destroy us, trying to break us apart, trying to destroy our children. Listen, I've got your back. You don't have to worry. No matter what we're going through, we've got each other. And together, as long as we're back to back, there is nothing that we cannot encounter and overcome. And so I challenge you this morning, you can do it. If your marriage is in a difficult place, God can bring you through. We're going to learn how to fight fair, and we're going to fight for our marriage with everything that's inside of us. I want to let somebody know here that you can have the marriage that you've always dreamed of. You can have the marriage that God wants you to have. Just don't give up. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I know for some of you here, it seems as you look over your life has just been one big fight, and you're fighting for everything that you can. And so today I encourage you to stop fighting and instead surrender to a God who loves you so much. Understand this, the reason life is such a battle is because we live in a sinful world. And this world is so messed up because we are all sinners, and God, in his love and in his mercy, he engaged in the ultimate fight when he robed himself in flesh. And what Jesus did is when he went to Calvary, he took on sin for us. He did battle with our spiritual enemy on the cross. He shed his blood. He died and he rose again. And he did all of that so that we could be forgiven, so that we could be saved and transformed, so that we could experience his goodness and his grace. And so you may be sitting here thinking, well, I can't do this anymore. I need his grace. I need his forgiveness. I made such a mess in my life. I need his salvation. Today, Lord, I'm ready to surrender my life to you. Lord, I recognize that my life is not my own, and so I'm ready to give it all to you. With no one looking around, if that's your prayer today, if you're ready to say yes to Jesus without hesitation, would you just lift your hands up right now so I can pray for you? Thank you. 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 This is the greatest decision that you could ever make. You can put your hands down. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I thank you for the sacrifice, the price that you paid, so that I could be set free. And so, Lord Jesus, I come to you with all my brokenness. I come to you with all my failures, with all of my sin. And Lord, I give it to you. I receive the sacrifice that you paid for me. Jesus, I'm asking you to be the Lord of my life. Wash me, cleanse me. And Lord Jesus, from this moment, I commit to move towards you. Lord, I thank you for being so good and for new life today. Lord Jesus, I pray over every marriage here. And Lord God, I know in a crowd this size, marriages are at many different places. Some of us do pretty well in this area of fighting fair, but truthfully, this is a skill that most of us were never even taught, and so we might be struggling in this area. Lord Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength to make the necessary changes that we need to make. And Lord God, that you would give us grace over the past, because we can't change the past. There's not one person in this room that can do anything even about the argument or the fight that happened last night or even this morning on the way to church. Lord God, but we commit from this moment forward to be the men and women that you've called us to be. Let us be godly husbands. Let us be godly wives. And Lord Jesus, when our anger starts to rise up, Lord God, that we would pause and ask ourselves this question: God, what is causing me to get angry? And trace it back to that unmet expectation. And Lord God, that you would give us the grace and the courage to have difficult conversations. Lord, I can't help but remember for all of us who are married in this room, there were times when we would stay up till half the night, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the morning, not get any sleep and go to work the next day because we were on the phone talking to each other and sharing our hearts. But somewhere along the way, walls have been built up and we're afraid to have these conversations. Lord, that is a ploy and a lie from the enemy, and I rebuke that and I command that to come off of our marriages, Lord God, and that we would go back to that place just like Adam and Eve when there was naked trust with each other. And Lord God, that we would allow ourselves to be vulnerable to one another again. And Lord Jesus, that our marriages would be something, Lord God, that not only brings deep satisfaction to us, Lord God, but is a testimony of your love and your grace. We ask all of this in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Amen. Why don't you clap your hands as you're standing?
Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear about what God is doing in your life. You can email us at stories@thelifeway.org or connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. If you'd like to support this podcast, you can give today by visiting thelifeway.org/give. Thanks again for listening, and be sure to check in next week for a new message. Have a great week.